preach to the children. I always want to preach to the children. Always kind of consider the children when I'm preaching. But today I'm driving this sermon to the children. And I want to make it as simple as I can so that every child can understand what I'm saying. And so if you're a child and you can hear my voice and you can understand what I'm saying to you, I want you to listen as long as you can, as hard as you can. I may try to make this a little shorter so that you can stay focused till the whole sermon. Because what we learn in this text, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, is that you're called to obey your parents. And what an important role this is, and what an important responsibility that you have to obey your parents, children. It's not something you should take lightly. You should seek to master this before you can get an education and before you can master some type of craft or career. You're not going to be able to do any of that if you don't master this. This is the thing that you should be good at and seek to get better every day, because it's very hard to do this. Very hard to obey. It's very difficult to obey your mom and dad. But you're called to obey your parents. And there's four reasons in this text. Four reasons God calls you to obey. Read with me, starting at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. And this, we see four reasons to obey mommy and daddy. Four reasons to obey your parents. One, it's a command. It's a command from God. Two, it pleases God. Three, it is what is right. Four, it is beneficial to you. Let's look at these reasons. And I hope these reasons compel you to obey your parents. First of all, notice that obedience to your mom and dad is a divine command. It's not just your parents say, obey me. It's God saying, obey your parents. This is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not for you to consider. It's not for you to weigh out if you want to or not. It has nothing to do with your feelings. It has nothing to do if you kind of think this is a good idea. No, you're commanded to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and do it right away. You do not get to decide the rules in the home. That's not your role. Your role is to obey the rules that your parents put in place. You see, obedience is an obligation. It's a duty. It's a responsibility. Let me put it this way to you children. It's a must. I must obey. There's not a choice in the matter. I don't get to decide if I want to or not. It's a command. And a command requires not partial obedience. It commands full obedience from you. You remember when God told Saul to go and kill all the Amorites? Saul did most of everything that God told him to do. He went to war. He fought. He killed. He won. He was victorious. He killed a lot of the animals. In fact, God says, kill everything, including the animals. But then he started looking at the sheep and the cattle, and some of these sheep and cattle were good. He says, well, wait a minute. I could offer those up as sacrifices to God. I could use this to worship God. Surely God doesn't mind me using some of this stuff to worship Him with. And that's the way you may be thinking. Mom maybe told you to do this or told you to do that. And you thought to yourself, I know something a little bit better than what Mom knows. I'll do most of what she says, but not all of it. and I'm going to take some of it and I'm going to surprise her with something she's going to appreciate. And so you think you have good motives. You think that you're going to do something that your mom and dad is going to be pleased with. But all the while, you're not precisely listening to them. And what did God do to Saul? He took his kingdom away. He says, I'm not asking for worship. I'm asking for obedience. You can't worship God or honor your mother and father if you're not obeying them. You may go to your mom and say, I love you, mommy, but all the while you've been a little devil the whole day. You want to hug her and you can't wait to see your dad, but you're not necessarily trying to obey your dad. God is saying, before you seek to love your parents and cuddle with your parents and spend time with your parents and say how much you care about your parents, all these things you want to do, all these things your parents want to hear from you, first learn to obey. You see, commands are authoritative. Commands mean nothing if they're not authoritative. God has given your mom and dad the authority to tell you what to do. God has given your parents the responsibility to raise you, to put the commands and the rules and the instructions in the home. It's your job to obey. It's their job to discipline. Commands are authoritative by their very nature. This is because commands, wherever you see a command, you see authority, you see responsibility, and you see, or you're supposed to see, a penalty. A command without a penalty is not a command at all. It's just a suggestion. And poor parenting is when you have rules, but you don't have penalties. Or you're not faithful with penalties. You'll learn that the law of gravity works most of the time. No, you learn that gravity works every time. There's a consequence to trying to defy and work against gravity. Rules have consequences if they're broken. And if your parents do not punish you for breaking the rules, God will. There's not going to be one command that God makes that He doesn't execute judgment and justice if it's violated. Every command that God gives has a penalty. And He does not withhold any of the penalties at all at any time. You need to realize that, children, that your disobedience is a command to obey. And if you disobey, you're breaking God's command, and it comes with a great penalty. And this is just as a sad note for us parents. The Bible tells us to fit the fear of God in our children so that they know God means business. How are our children going to know that God is serious about the law if we're not serious about the law? The Bible says it this way, whoever spares the rod hates his son. But he who loves him is diligent. You know, not just randomly and when it's convenient, but is diligent, faithful, consistent to discipline him. Proverbs 3:12, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves, as does a father the son in whom he delights. Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be party to his death. The worst thing you can do to your children is neglect disciplining them. You hate your children. You say, well, no, I love them. I can't stand to see them in pain. No, if you really cared about them, you would seek their eternal good. It's better for them to be disciplined by your loving hand than it is to be disciplined by the world. Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Your child comes out as a devil, and your job is to spank the foolishness out of that devil. The Bible says, do not withhold discipline from a child, although you strike him with a rod, he will not die. In fact, it says, strike him with a rod, and you will deliver him from death. You see, disobedience leads to a penalty, punishment. This is how kids learn to obey. They learn, hey, that hurts. I remember a pastor friend of mine telling this story about how this one kid kept on, came over, and he's slapping a leaf from a plant, and his dad kept on saying, don't do that. He slapped it. Don't do that. Slapped it. Don't do that. Finally, the preacher looked at his kid and said, listen, your dad's not going to slap you, but I will. He didn't slap it again. The reason our kids don't behave better than they do is because they know that we're not going to spank them, or maybe we will spank them. But it's a poor picture of what God does. God doesn't not discipline us. He loves us too much not to discipline us. My son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. Walk. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. It says, Proverbs 23, listen to your father who gave you life. Hear, my son, your father's instruction and forsake not your mother's teaching. Listen, children. Before you try to be good at any other thing in your life, before you're good at basketball or good at skating or good at this or that, seek to be good at obedience. It's a command. And it's not just a command from your earthly father and mother. It's a command from God Himself. There's a second reason you need to obey. Because obedience to your parents is what pleases God. It says, children, if you read with me in verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Colossians 3:20 put it this way, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. When you obey God, when you obey your mom and dad, you're pleasing God Himself. It's amazing to me to think that we could please the Lord. What does God delight in? He delights in obedience. He delights in submitting yourself to what your mom and dad is asking you to do. He delights in it. He takes pleasure in those who obey. Another way of putting it, children, is this. Disobeying your parents displeases God. You need to realize, children, your parents don't see everything you think. Your parents don't see everything you do. But God does. God is watching you. He's watching you, and He's watching your attitude and your heart. He's watching you, how you respond to your mother and father's instruction. How are you going to respond when your mom says, go clean your room? How do you respond? How long does it take you to respond? And what is the attitude of your heart when you do respond? Trust me, God is watching you and evaluating you. God hates, and we need to understand this, God hates disobedience more than your mom and dad does, more than I do as your pastor. You say, Jeff, you sound like you're half mad. I'm not mad. I'm not mad. You're kind of mean. You're sounding mean. No, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just don't think we realize how big a deal sin is. We shortchange it, do we not? We minimize it in our minds. We sometimes laugh and think it's cute. It's not a big deal. Oh, well, it's not a big deal. Now, next week we'll talk about parents not provoking their children to wrath, and we can be overbearing. We'll cover that next week. But this week, children, you need to realize that your actions to your parents is either pleasing God or displeasing God. To disobey your mom and dad is to disobey God Himself. And He's going to hold you accountable. For every command your parents give you, that is a command of God. And regardless if your parents will discipline you or not, I'm going to be clear with you. God will discipline you. He's storing up judgment for you. He's holding every sin, every disobedience. He's writing a book with your name on it. Little Johnny. Look, he gave a little smirky look to his mom. I'm writing it down, and I'm going to hold little Johnny accountable on the day of judgment. Oh, look, there's little Sally. She stomped off. I'm writing her actions down. And on the day of judgment, I'm going to remind little Sally what she did when she stomped her foot and went away. And I'm going to hold her accountable. And I'm going to throw little Sally into the pit of hell for her sins. There was a man in the Old Testament named Eli, and he didn't discipline his kids. Let them do what they wanted to do. And they grew up to be spoiled brats. They just couldn't obey anything. Finally, God says, if Eli doesn't take care of them, I will. God killed them. God hates your disobedience, children. Third reason you need to obey, because it's what's right. Look at verse 1. Read with me if you have your Bibles. I want you to see this for yourself. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's saying that your disobedience is wrong. It's sin. It's evil. Disobedience is the heart of all wickedness in the world. Now, when you think about how wicked it is in the world. And I know your children, you may not have a full understanding of how depraved and wretched it is out in the world. How much abuse, how much sin, how much evilness, evil is out there. The demonic influences that are shaping our society. The treachery, the selfishness that rules and reigns over the kingdom of darkness, Satan in all his dominion. You may not comprehend. In fact, who of us can comprehend how evil it is outside in the world? But all of that evil comes from the same heart that you have. I'll do it my way. That little selfish desire that you have that says, I'm not going to obey mom and dad. That little resistance that you have, that little pride that's in your heart. Even now when you hear me preach, there's a little bit of you that says, I just don't know if I want to do this or not. That little bit of selfishness that you're thinking is in your heart, that is in your heart, that is what's caused all the evil in the world. And it's in you. God hates it. It's wrong. It's what's wrong with the world. But obedience is good. It's right. It's what's right. God has arranged the world in authority structures. The world hates it, by the way. This whole thing with wokeism is all about deconstructing authority. Wherever they see it. Wherever there's authority, there's oppression. Wherever there's authority, it's evil. Authority is what evil. No, I'll tell you what's evil is not obeying authority is what's evil. And God's arranged it. Even in his own economy, where the Father sends the Son, and the Son says yes to the Father. And he's structured society where there's authority structures. And we're all under authority. None of us are free to do as we please, when we want to, and how we want to. We're all under authority. Children, you'll never be your own authority. You're called by God to learn submission, obedience. And that's hard, right? It's hard because you want to go outside and play. You want to go out. You got something you want to do, or you want to watch something, and you got some desire, and that desire strong within you is, I just want this. I want it, Dad. Can I not have it? Why not? And we get mad. We get upset because our parents are telling us no, no, no. And we got the desires that kept on saying yes, yes. And we get mad at mom and dad, do we not? It's hard to submit because it's hard to bring your desires and say, no, it's not what I will. It's what my mom and dad wills. Ultimately, it's what God wills. Us adults, we still have to learn this, don't we? We're still sometimes like kids, wanting this and that, what's not good for us. But if we don't learn it when we're young, it's going to be almost impossible for us to learn it when we're adults. Obedience is right, disobedience is wrong. That's just the bottom line. Let me bring you to the fourth, final reason you're to obey. Because obedience is beneficial to you. If you want to stab yourself in the back and hurt yourself and undermine your own future, if you want to destroy your life, then just disobey your mom and dad. That's the path of destruction. It says in verse 2, honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise. Now, let me deal with this honor your father and mother first. This is on top of obedience. When you obey your parents, you don't just do what they say. You seek to honor them in what they say. You seek to give them respect and know that they're God's rightful authority over your life. And so you honor them. And, yes, sir, what do you like for me to do today? How can I serve today, mom and dad? Honor them. But you see, this is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it. What does that mean? Well, actually, it's true, because when you go back and look at the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, you got all the commandments. Then you have this one that says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is the first commandment that offered some earthly blessings. If you do this, there's going to be some benefit for your life. Benefits. There's going to be something that God's going to give you if you do this. Well, you got to understand that the Ten Commandments was given to the nation of Israel, and they were given it as they were entering into the land of promise. And they were getting the land of promise because the inhabitants that were living in that land at the time had a bunch of disobedient children. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. They sacrificed to pagan gods and sacrificed their kids to gods, and they were just as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah. They were a defiled people group. And God says, I cannot stand these people group. I'm using you, Israel, to go and judge these people for their iniquities. And you can take that land that I give you, and you can live there and abide there as long as you don't become like they are. as long as you're obedient. God understands that the family is the social unit of society. If disobedience begins in the home, it's going to take one generation until it breeds into all of society. And so if they're going to live long in the land as a people group, then it had to begin with parenting. It had to begin with obeying your mom and your dad. This is how you learn authority and submission. This is how you learn to live into society as productive, giving citizens. And if the home breaks down, society will fall. That's what we're seeing in our day. That's why our country's being destroyed, because the family has been destroyed long ago. God knows this, and this is why He's instructing the Israelites. This is, if you're going to live long in the land, it begins in the home. There's a promise of longevity, national longevity, but there's also some benefits for the child. The Bible tells us that the way of the transgressor, the way of the disobedient child is hard. It's death. It leads to destruction. I wish you could, all you children could know, live, could see the life of my friend when I was in high school. His name was Paul Griffith. He's dead now. He died young. He died shortly after graduation. Paul was one of my good friends. I looked back and said, I shouldn't have been friends with the man. I regret it because bad company spoils good morals and values. And I had bad judgment in being friends with this young man. But this young man could not take any discipline. He could not obey anyone. He was from a broken home and had no dad. But his mother, he ruled. And his mother learned to obey him. I remember once, and I was so embarrassed by it. We were at a basketball game and he wanted some money for the concession stand. He wanted $5 to get some nachos. And he went up to his mom, and I was with him, and he said, Mom, can I have $5? She said, no. And I think he's probably draining his mom dry. And she said, no. And he looked at her in the eyes and front of all the crowd in the stadium, people all around, and he looked at her and says, you don't want me to cause a scene, do you? He was a high school student. She bowed her head and pulled out $5 and gave it to her. That's what you're going to be. That's the type of person you will become if you don't learn to say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. That young man was kicked off the basketball team because he couldn't obey the coach. He was kicked out of high school, didn't graduate because he couldn't obey. He got into all kinds of, as you'd expect, pleasure-seeking lifestyle. So much so that his life killed him. The Bible tells us that this is the nature of sin. This is where disobedience takes you. And it sounds fun, especially if you're a teenager or you're a little bit older, you're thinking about girls or you're thinking about boys, and the desire of the relationship, pursuit of relationship, is just stronger than the desire to please your mom or your dad. You'll begin to do things that they don't know about. You'll begin to live a life that's somewhat secret. And you begin to think things you shouldn't think. And you begin to talk the way you shouldn't talk. And next thing you know, you're living a life of destruction. Go and read in your own time, if you're old enough, Proverbs chapter 7. and take heed. You know what they're to do with children like Paul Griffith in the Old Testament? This is what they were supposed to do. If they wanted to live long in the land, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then the father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city of the gate at the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of the city, "This, our son, is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from the midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, let me tell you, Israel did not do these things. That's why God purged them out of the land. Because they didn't purge their children and discipline their children. You see, I am convinced in the natural world, if you want to be successful, it begins in the home. It begins with learning to take commands and orders and following these things, because it teaches you the discipline that you need to not live by your desires. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, and that foolishness is to live by your desires, your cravings, what you want. I just want to watch TV. I just want to eat chips. I just want to go play. I just want this. I just want that. And you just crave this and crave that, and you keep on craving, and all your cravings are insatiable, and you've got to have self-control to live in this world. You have to have discipline. You have to say, I got to get up. I got to get to work. I got to go to bed on time. There's certain things to make it in this life you've got to have discipline for. And it begins with saying yes to your parents. Or otherwise, there's a long road ahead of you. I believe this. Learning obedience is better than a college education. It's better than good nutrition. You may be poor and you may not have the proper food, and you're thinking, well, I'm feeding them processed food too much. And even if that's the case, you don't have to be rich to discipline your kids. Kids, master this. Why? Because it's a command, it pleases God, it's what's right, and it's beneficial. Now, I thought about preaching this sermon in this way. Why you're going to hell? Because you've broken God's command. Because you displeased God. Because you've done what's wrong. And because you brought it upon yourself. All that could have been worded from this text. But let me close by reminding you that your sins and disobedience to your parents is taking you to hell. And you already deserve to go there. You do not have to do one more sin to deserve eternal judgment. Do you? I know parents, this sometimes will get you in trouble with parents when you preach a sermon like this, because parents don't want their kids to hear that when they're too young. They're afraid. No, my kid doesn't need to hear that. He doesn't need. Yes, your child does need to hear this. My children need to know from the earliest age of comprehension, you need Christ. You are a sinner. You are disobedient. How many sins have you committed? God's got them all recorded. Every one of them. I mean, every little smirk, every little slight disobedience, every little delay that you wouldn't just quickly do it, every little complaint. He's recorded them all. And just because you're young doesn't mean He's not going to bring them back up to your account on the day of judgment. What must you do? Repent. Confess. Confess that you're a disobedient child. Confess that you deserve hell. Confess. Repent. Go to your parents and say, I'm sorry, Mom and Dad. I've been disobedient. But more than that, go to God. Run to God. Confess your sins before God. Because God has an obedient son. God's son has done everything you haven't done. His son said, yes, Father. He said yes to his heavenly Father, and he said yes to Joseph and Mary. Yes. Perfectly. He was always in submission his whole life. Then, as hopefully you know, God treated him as a disobedient child. He poured out his wrath upon his innocent, perfect, good son so that he can have mercy upon you. That he may can forgive you of your transgressions, of your sins, of your disobedience. There is a way of forgiveness, children. And it's not through trying to be good from now on, though you need to be good from now on. You've got to get rid of your sins, and there's only one way, and that is to repent. And trust Christ. Look to Christ as your only escape, your only way out of this. Your only way to not face God the Father on the day of judgment and be condemned forever for your sins is to look to Jesus Christ and be covered by His blood, and He take your sins and pay for them so that you can take His righteousness and His obedience for yourself. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we prayed this morning for our children, and now we pray even more for them. We know that they're lost and they're wicked and they're depraved and they're deserving of your judgment. We can't bring them to you because we think they are cute or clever or innocent. Lord, we see and read about how you treated the children in the Amalekite community. Lord, speak to our children's heart. Help them to see their danger. Help them not to have peace in their heart as long as they're in their sins. Help them to hate their sins. Help them to see the danger that's standing before them. Help them, dear God, to see the beauty of surrender and obedience. And thank you, dear God, for giving us a hope of eternal life in your Son, Jesus Christ. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen.